Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Jonathan Chan Chong. Jonathan, or JCC, is Guyanese, Jamaican, Canadian poet and writer from Scarborough, Ontario. Informed by a multicultural and racial background and one of the most diverse neighborhoods of Canada, JCC's central themes include identity and the human condition. When he's not writing his own story, he's helping brands speak theirs as a copywriter. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Doing great.
I am so glad that you're here. So I read your bio, and if you could give us some more background to add to it before we dive into the questions, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I am a poet, a creative writer, a copywriter as well too. Based out of Scarborough, Ontario. I've been writing in poetry pretty much my entire life, but I finally got the courage to start sharing it about 4 to 5 years ago. And it's been my drug of choice, pretty much. I can't go a day without, you know, coming up with an idea or writing. So pretty much a part of my daily practice is writing every single morning. Let's see what else. I've been published in this great online magazine called Unmute, which represents underrepresented and marginalized communities and artists. It's just been an incredible journey since.
I love drug of choice. That's amazing. Yeah. I know when we spoke prior, I know we're going to dive into this stuff more, but if you want to just kind of, you know, skirt the issue, or at least touch on it, and we'll dive in a little bit later. But we talked about like pushing boundaries and identity issues. And is there anything that you can kind of expand on a little bit with that right now?
Yeah. So in terms of pushing boundaries, one of my things is I study and I look at the contemporaries of the past and see what are some of the things that they've done. And then how can I push the boundaries of that? So whether it be my cadence, whether it be my rhyme structure, whether it be subject content, my goal is to redefine spaces, because as we keep growing in this thing called life, in this floating ball called Earth, you know, the contexts that we live within are constantly changing. So if we are to keep expecting that the art forms that we've chosen isn't going to evolve as well. We're deeply disillusioned. So I look back at jazz as one of my heavily influential turning points, because it was taking a lot of these like classical structures, but then putting it on its head, and then also giving it narrative to speak about the time, right? So they're coming out of a depression, and also throughout the depression, and then plus being within marginalized communities, and I'm speaking of like the origins of it prior to it becoming commercialized. So that's them like adapting like these forms, these art forms all around them, and then reinterpreting it into something to speak their narratives and also rhythmic patterns within their communities. And I deeply believe the exact same thing within what I do is I'm looking at everything that has been done before me and I'm saying, how can I push the boundaries? And I mean, what does that translate to? It translates into people saying that's not real art. It translates into me getting low scores of poetry slams. It translates into people saying you're not really good at this. And that's a part of the journey, you know, it's a self-discovery. Because I know for myself, like I've struggled with these demons my whole life. I've had people tell me I'm not good enough my whole life. So this art form that I've chosen, or rather it's chosen me, to truthfully and authentically display who I am, no one's going to tell me that like it's not good enough, because I know what's good enough. And then that's also looked at, it's also translated into my line of work, which is copywriting. You know, a big thing about copywriting and advertising is pushing the boundaries, you know, taking the expected and then flipping it on its head. So people expect something, there to be an outcome, but then you hit them with a complete, I guess, lateral. And that sort of unexpectedness creates stickiness, right? So it's going to like lash in people's minds, you know, whether it is, you know, a complete work of art or it's something that is, distasteful is the wrong word, but whether it goes to the opposite end of the spectrum where it kind of leads to them pondering like, was that PC? I don't even know.
Right.
You know, so right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's also part of the game in copywriting. So I'm, you know, towing the line of, you know, the expected, but as well as the unexpected. And it's the same thing with my poetry. So long story long.
I know. I love it. There were so many amazing words in there. And the one that kind of sticks out to me is stickiness. Like, I love the way you described it, just in that, as whether it's literally going to stick with someone or whether it's going to go past them, because in these times of advertising and catching people's attention with such ADD, you literally have like, how many seconds do you have?
Exactly. Oh, wait, that's the actual question.
Well, yeah.
It's within 5 to 12 seconds.
Okay, so it's even that long. Like, it's people, you have that long to catch people's attention. And I like how you mentioned, too, like, was it PC? Makes people think, they're like, huh. I just thought of the show In Living Color. Like, if that could be made now,
right.
That was such a freaking funny show. Because
it was amazing. Yeah. It was,
everybody is so sensitive now with everything. But,
exactly.
You know, that's a whole separate thing. But, Yeah. Oh, this is going to be really good. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for all of that. So before we dive into the nitty gritty, your would you rather question for today is, Jonathan, would you rather teleport into another country or another world?
Another country or another world? And can I choose, or am I just being plopped?
Say it again. Can you choose or what?
Am I choose or am I just being plopped? Like, is there, a higher being that just grabs me by the nape and just goes,
I don't know.
whoop?
This is, you can perceive it as you perceive it. I'm just asking the question. Would you rather teleport into another country or another world? You take it as you want.
Country. Country. Because there's so much of this kind of this world that we or of Earth that we don't understand. And I feel like one of the best ways to do that is through culture and understanding and like where people are coming from. Beyond just like a Google, right? Because I feel like even that is through only a specific lens. I want to see it through my lens. So definitely country.
Okay, yeah, got it. Okay, cool. So, first question, Jonathan. Would, or, oh God, darn, not would. We already did that. How do you define creativity?
Creativity to me is being present to the environment, the world that you're in, and as well as with yourself. And then making something out of that. I think there is this crazy loftiness that comes with the word creativity that can scare people off, like it has to be painting or it has to be dancing or it has to be poetry. But creativity could literally be, the change in your step as you're walking down the street. It could be, being aware of the way you're breathing so that, you're more in tune with your body. It could honestly be journaling. So I remember I was having a conversation with somebody and they said, oh, we're talking about like centering practices and how we ground ourselves every morning. So one of the guys, he's a photographer, and he was saying that like, oh, I don't, or he does photography on the side, and he says like sometimes I don't want to get the chance to take pictures, but I love just picking up the camera, looking at something, focusing the lens, and looking at how the world is reflected into this camera, and then I just put down the camera, and that's it for the day. Right?
So he doesn't take the picture.
No, not always. Something that's all he needs. For me, it's my daily practice of writing every morning, and then also throughout the day. And so one of the women who were attending, she said, "Oh, like I'm not as creative as you guys. Like I just journal." And I said, and at that point, I had to, cut her off because I didn't want her to demean herself because journaling is tapping into the same space as creativity or as quote unquote creativity, right? The vulnerability, the awareness of the world that you're within, putting it down in another medium that you wouldn't typically use, in a conversation. And these introspective moments is where real creativity comes from. So I was telling her, like, if you wanted to translate this into artistic practice, by all means, you're going to be just fine because you're touching the exact same things. You're hitting the objective that an artist is trying to hit. But if you don't, fine, because you're still doing the exact same things that we do anyways. So yeah, like so creativity to me is just looking at what's around you, processing it, and then spitting it out in a way that's authentic to you.
What was her response when you said that?
She was just smiling and she was like, she held herself like she was like thank you. And she's like, you're really nice. Yeah, it wasn't like a long-winded response or anything like that, but I think, and these, sorry,
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it shows that, she hasn't heard that before. It shows
Exactly.
that she hasn't been given the opportunity to really think that, oh, the things I do are valid. And sometimes we do need to have we need to be in circles, that can help affirm us in moments where we might be doubting ourselves.
Well, the gift that you gave her, like that was huge, and it seems like a small moment, but it was probably, I'm putting my thoughts onto it, but I think it's in those moments that are the huge things, which is why I started my company. Like, this is why I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing exists, is to empower people, to give people a voice that creativity goes beyond a pencil and a paintbrush. And by empowering her and using the words that you use to say that journaling is a form of expression, it's a form of vulnerability, it's a form of crafting your ideas and putting them into a space that is a release. That's huge. And people, because people don't hear, they don't hear that. And people become so empowered when they're given that validation or permission. Because it, again, it just expands the definition, and they're like, oh, I'm an artist, or I'm a creative being. It makes them stand up tall and really feel good about themselves, I find.
Definitely, definitely. That was a big part of my journey into the space of being a poet. And I mean, honestly, and then it led into me being a copywriter because it made me realize how much I love words. But actually, the jump-off point was poetry. So I had an ex-partner, and so she knew people who were organizing a poetry event, and she's like, "Why don't you do it? You write all the time, right?" So if I'm looking at the timelines, so this was probably 4 years, 3 years ago. Well, no, 2020. I skipped over 2020, as most of us do.
I know,
So it was
right?
4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, it's 4 or 5 years ago. Because and then a year prior to that. But yeah, so she said, "I know these people who are organizing this thing. You write all the time. Why don't you just do it?" And it's open mic, first come, first serve. But she said, because I know the organizer, I can guarantee you, or we can guarantee you a spot. I said, "You know what? Like, all the things are falling in line for me to share. I got to do this." And remember how I seen my drug of choice? It was that night I became addicted. Like, I went up there, I spoke my truth, I was heard, and people acknowledged it. And I said, "This is it.
Can you
I'm in love with this."
paint a picture, like I paint a picture of how it felt for you, how many people were in the audience generally. Like, if you could paint
Right.
that scenario, that would be really cool.
Okay. So this is the before time, so before COVID. It's at a venue called the I can tell oh I can envision it. It's the not the Broadview Hotel, but it's like it's a boutique hotel, but in the basement there is an event space. So, it's dark, like there's a DJ spinning, like really, really cool tune. So it's a mixture of Afro beats, hip hop, some dance hall, some really cool ballet funk, which is like an up and coming, like not even up and coming, but it's a Brazilian music form. And like we're all dancing and doing our thing, and I'm just waiting for my time to go. And the thing is that they didn't even say when it was my turn. So I was, they didn't say, "Oh, you're going after this person, you're going after that person." They just call you up.
So you're like this nervous kid. It's like being in a classroom where it's like, when are you going to be called on?
It's, you know what the funny thing is? I wasn't even nervous.
Wow, okay.
Like up to the point of me going on stage, I wasn't nervous. Because at that point I kind of just gave it up to the universe and just said, "Hey, do with me what you will." And I was just, so all of us were dancing and stuff. So my best friend, his name's Uche. And so he's like one of my ride or dies, and he was there with me, and my girlfriend at the time was there too, and so all of us were dancing. So were performances and everything like that, and this community was great. It was a so supportive. Everybody was just like clapping, and like even when somebody was stumbling, because this is a space for mostly a new performer. Not exclusively, but a lot of new performers, and they wanted to make it like a brave space for individuals who haven't showcased their art form before. And so it's a mixture of like music, a slam po or spoken word, dance, what have you. And then they call up my name. So I perform under JCC. Because that's my initials, and also it's spelt out, so it's JaySeeSee. And I do that, one, because it looks cool, but two, because I want just to be as a reminder to always keep your eyes open, always be aware, and be present, you know. Because you know how they say like third eye and everything like that, so that's kind of what it embodied to me. And and I have a lot of pride in my name, coming being part of the Caribbean diaspora, so I have a lot of pride in my name. So I go up, I pull up my phone. Mind you, also this is winter time in Toronto, so I'm up there in like my heavy wool jacket. You know, I'm looking fresh, I'm looking fly, but at the same time I'm hot. So I'm up there, and I just say thank you, pick up the mic, and I start going. You know, and I remember the intro line. I don't have the entire poem memorized, but I remember the intro line is, "If I wake up and I refuse to open the blinds, does that mean that I'm asleep?" And or something along those lines. You know, I feel like I need to pull this thing up just for good time, for old time's sake, like.
I was gonna
But
say,
yeah, I mean, this is a really dated poem, but this launched me off, and you know, a lot of I got a lot of like positive acknowledgement, and people were like, "You killed it up there, man!" Blah blah blah, and I was like, "Yeah, this is my first time doing this," and at that point, it was like I was doing this for me. I wasn't doing this to get, you know, handshakes or daps or anything like that. I was going up there for me to speak my truth. And then to have it be in a community where everyone said, "You're heard, you're seen, you're loved." I mean, what else could you ever ask for? And sorry, I'm still looking this, I'm still looking for this thing. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I
Here we
mean, the
go.
reason why I'm asking you to really paint this picture is because it's like the first time in this. And I mean, there's just like, I really love what you're saying with, I mean, you were genuinely doing this for you. So it's this heart-centered space that you're truly coming from. And you literally gave it up to the universe. And you're like, just speak through me or do with me what you
Exactly.
want. And that's when these miracles happen, you know, not, you know, miracles in the sense of just these beautiful opportunities, even if they're just for you, for opening. I mean, it led you onto a whole path.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so
Okay, let's hear it.
here's the opening lines to the poem.
Okay.
If I wake up and the sun disappeared, is it morning? If the blinds refuse to open, I still refuse to be blind. If the gun doesn't pop, I will continue to run and not be left behind. I'm different than a mile ago. Hell, I'm different than 2 steps ago. And I think like those that opening line just like really just sums up my entire experience. Sums up even what got me up there was just like, doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter about my past. And what matters is right now,
Yeah.
in the moment.
Yeah, keep
And I
going.
needed
Keep,
to
can you
just,
read more?
and I just did it.
I cut you off. I'm
Oh.
sorry.
I know, right. I am an enigma with my density changing whichever way I go. I may not always know the path, and the map may be a little fucked up, but no matter where I go, it always seems to be my damn luck. Where I find my way to lose it, find love to amuse it, find drugs to abuse it, find a bomb with the fuse lit. I was ready to die, I was ready to live, ready to dive, ready to give. The deep end is empty and you jump in head first and you arrive dead first, but I gotta stay a G so they pull up in a red hearse. What the fuck's worse? Parents' tears burst, my boy's dying of thirst, my woman not giving a fuck what's in her damn purse. 'Cause the love is now gone, but not from love lost, but from love removed. Love vanished, not consumed. These choices, this confusion. These voices, this illusion, my choice is. My voice is. Neither confused or an illusion. To not know is meant for inward abusing, which hurts them all from outward pursuing. If I lost my diamond, there's another one in the rough. This one's bigger, stronger, harder, and been through enough. Fortified through pressure and polished to the perfect buff. To glimmer is nice, but the luster will go. The structure will stay regardless of the road. My next revolution is one up and better. Never heated, even in 1,000-degree weather. As I remind myself this, I burned this letter. So that's my very first performance.
Whew. Wow, there is a lot packed in there. It just it caught me, and I don't know if it was it the first part caught me, and then I was trying to listen to you while writing, but where it said glimmer is nice, but then did you say the shine will go?
The luster will go.
The
The
luster
glimmer
will
is
go.
nice, but the luster will go. The structure will stay regardless of the road.
Nice. Yeah, that stuck. The stickiness, that stuck with me. Wow.
So and then so after that I got the stage and that set me on this path of living my truth. I
What does that mean? What does living your truth mean? Jonathan, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? All of a sudden you went. Hello? Oh, you're on mute. You have to unmute yourself. Jonathan, you need to unmute yourself. Jonathan. You might need to go out and come back in. You don't see a button to push to unmute? Okay.
Okay.
You're still
It
mute. Oh,
just
there we go.
Okay. So sorry. Are we able to edit this out?
Yes. I was just gonna say the beauty of editing. We're gonna make this all string
Oh my
together.
God. I am so sorry. Yeah, I think this is also like the predicament when you're just doing everything on your phone, right?
It's true. Yeah. I've never had people go on mute with it. I've had, well, at least not be able to undo it. I've had, anyway, it's okay.
Right.
So, editing is
Sorry about
beautiful.
that.
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what where were we?
I said, what does, you said your truth, that this opportunity led you to your truth. And I asked, what does that mean to you?
Oh, okay, got it, got it. Yeah, just to be 110% authentically myself. Like an example of this is that I always wanted to get into marketing. I went to school for it, but post grad, I would just caught in this like cycle of like, like a lot of post grads, like working at a bank, doing insurance, like working retail, like just kind of doing all of the things. And part of it was because I didn't want to invest wholly into myself and be for the fear of not making a paycheck. But then in this moment I said, I'm going to make the opportunity myself. So at the time I was volunteering at a community garden. I was a member of this community garden for probably, don't know, 8 years, 7 years at the time. Every summer just going there, helping out, running a workshop here or there, nothing too crazy. And then I saw an opportunity where there was a rift in communications. So sometimes like the gardeners wouldn't know what's going on, or like the city would shut off our water and people wouldn't know about it. And so I said to myself, like, there has to be a way for us to centralize our communications and actually have a really cool like strategy as well too. So I said, you know what? I am going to make a weekly newsletter. I'm going to like take control of our email list and start a communication strategy. And from that led me to working for a nonprofit out of BC. So that opened up the doors and led me to moving to the other side of the country. And so I'm in Toronto, by the way, for anyone out there who doesn't know that. And I just thought that was like absolutely incredible. Like when I started leaning into myself and leaning into my truth, like I started hitting all these goals that I've laid out for myself, like 8 years prior that I was just too chicken to do. And then working at this non at the nonprofit, I was meeting a lot of folk that were very much aligned with me. So whether that is through food justice work or indigenous rights, believing in grounded practices like meditation, breathing, stretches, things like that, they understood the balance between being grounded but also making your money in terms of business. And I this opened my eyes because in Toronto, people don't talk about being grounded. We talk about the grind. And I mean, I actually like the way I approach things. I kind of have I take a bite from both places. So I definitely see the value in grind. I definitely see the value in knowing when to turn that volume up and step on the accelerator. But then, and that's the Toronto aspect. but then I also know that, like, how to stay in tune with myself to say, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to take the rest of the day off so that I can just breathe and relax. And I mean, I'm also in a very privileged position because I don't have kids. I'm not, I don't have a mortgage. So I have like these allowances to give myself. But at the same time, my life, my life circumstance hasn't changed that much from previously. So that means I could have been doing this all along, but because I was so focused on making it, quote unquote, by worldly standards of your bank account, I ended up actually not taking care of myself at all. And here, and here's the funny thing, is when I started taking care of myself, my productivity went up. And now, being a freelancer, I'm actually making as much as when I was at the beck and call of somebody else. So this is, you know, I don't like that the expression is the proof is in the pudding, I guess. I think that's what it is. Is just like, love yourself and everything else will make sense. It's just hard. It's hard to get to that point. It's unbelievably hard.
There's a lot of accepting, and then there's a lot of, and there's another thing I want to touch on before we actually get to the second question.
Okay.
I mean, you found a space when you went through all that you went through with all your other jobs and everything, and because you were just stuck in the grind, and then you were in this nonprofit space with something that you actually felt a connection with, more of a passion with, and you were in a safe space. Like, people got you got them. There was a lot of similarities, and which then, led you to this more, even more, to dive into, like, oh, the marketing aspect, which you went to school for, but now it meant something to you because you could apply it to something you actually cared about.
Right. Exactly.
And then you just grew from there. So
Exactly.
good. Did you do this in your 20s or your 30s?
20s into my 30s.
Which is amazing that you did it then and didn't wait till your 50s. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I give myself a hard time that it took me this long,
Oh my
you
God.
know.
Yeah.
But like, but in the grand scheme, it's not even that long.
But
You know?
it feels like a long time when you're not feeling good, about it and everything. It feels like forever, but you did it at that time, which is, we do it when we do it. It's annoying. It's like, my mother would say, well, you weren't ready for something. I was like, why didn't it happen then? She's like, you weren't ready for it. I'm like, that's annoying, but it's true.
Like, what does that even mean?
What does that mean? I
Oh.
don't like that answer.
Exactly.
Which is exactly the issue. So let's, well, actually, no, I'm going to ask you this because I want to ask you, and then we'll go to the second question. So, identity. So I know that it was like a big, it's a big part of who you are, obviously, being multicultural, multiracial. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess so growing up, I'm just trying to think of like what's a good launching point for this. Okay, so for everyone out there, I am a byproduct of the Caribbean diaspora. But I look Chinese. I guess that's like the plainest way to put it. But I'm mixed. So that's when things start getting really complicated. So growing up, you know, I would tell people, oh yeah, I'm Jamaican and Guyanese. And people were like, no, you're not. Like, what do you mean? I am. My parents are from there. No, they're not. Like, what do you mean? Like,
What do
so
you
pretty much
mean?
I've been dealing with that, right? It's like that's what I've been dealing with like my entire life. So part of my mission, when I started really coming into my own self-existence, my own self-meaning, and knowing like who I am and who and everything that I stand for, was to also bring visibility to folk who don't look exactly like what they represent, you know. And that's just, and that's in like all contexts, right? Especially in this world and space where more mixed babies are going to be coming up, right? Because I think it's my job as an elder, and I'm going to call myself an elder because, you know, when the next generation comes up, you know, who are mixed and going through this, I will be that elder. To debunk, not debunk, but I guess to create more of an inclusive space for racial identity, right? So like my friend, he's St. Vincent, of African descent, and he's married, and he married an Indian woman, and they just had a kid, cutest kid ever. But my mind instantly went to, I need to make sure that this world is a safe space for her. And my mind constantly thinks to, when it comes time for me to have kids, I need to make sure that this world is a safe space for my kids. You know, because like there are a lot of identities that some of us will never understand fully, but it's for us to have like the openness to listen, you know. And that becomes a critical point, and I want the floor to be open for folk like me, right? So I guess to give you more context on like how mixed I am. So my mom, she's Jamaican, and by bloodline we're part Chinese, Lebanese, African, and Scottish. And then on my dad's side, he's fifth generation Guyanese, but he's 100% Chinese in terms of bloodline. But contextually, he's 100% Guyanese. So we need to start start asking more questions when things don't make sense, as opposed to thinking that our perspectives are absolutes, you know. Because I'm still having conversations like the conversations I had when I was 8 years old, till today, with grown ass people.
What was like an 8-year old question?
Like me telling them, how I was singing before. My parents are from Jamaica and Guyana. No, they're not.
Okay, so that's what you mean, is that the adults are actually still arguing back with you.
Exactly, they're still exactly the same thing. Like, oh, but now it's not so much, no, they're not. They're not. They're like, but how? Which I feel like is way ruder.
Right.
Right? It's like horror. It's like, what? How? What are you saying? You know, like, it's the absence of opinion now, right? Like, it's because at least with a kid, they're like, yes or no, but how? It's like,
right.
It's not even so much them asking like the real questions. It's like they're implying no, but without actually saying it, because they're still trying to not be a complete asshole about it.
Right.
Even though they are being a complete asshole about it.
Right.
But yeah, so again, so for me, like, so that's why a big part of my poetry is about my identity. You know, the very first piece of work that I did, that gained a lot of traction because I was performing it at various spaces, is called A Glass of Sorrio. So there's a Caribbean drink called Soro, and the name comes from African folklore, what Afro-Caribbean folklore, where Anansi, who is an African deity that was brought over to the Caribbean, I was making this like was trying to con people to buy his flowers, and then he threw his the flowers into boiling water, added sugar and a bunch of other spices to it, and then sold it, but then called it so real. So what that calls back to that folklore that like that was intrinsic to my life, you know. And it's also important. It was important for me to call it a glass of soul real because one, because of how I look, doesn't mean that I'm inauthentic, right? It's just, you know, my aesthetics are different than yours,
Right.
right? Two, it calls back to my heritage and the folklore. And three, I was blessed enough to have grown up with one of the greatest Jamaican folklorists of our time, Miss Louise Bennett. When my parents found out that she actually lived right down the street from us in Toronto, they were just through the roof, and we would go there, go and visit them every so often. And funny enough, last weekend we gathered for family, or not family, for Father's Day. And my brother's learning how to play the ukulele. My dad's mean on the piano, like absolutely mean, like he's a genius. So they're going, and then my mom. So I'm just doing my thing, right? Like I'm just off the top freestyling, and then my mom gives me a book of Anansi folklore book, folklore stories from Miss Lou. In the front of the book, it's signed off to both my brother and I. You know, it's just like, you know, much love, Miss Lou. And I started reading one of the stories. Actually, it was the sorrow story or soul real story to the rhythm that my brother and my dad were playing.
Wow, okay.
And that was one of the coolest things I've done with my family. Like that's like top five coolest things I've done with them. And it was just off the cuff, you know? And, you know, and this kind of goes right back into what we were talking about before, right? With creativity, being open to yourself, being open to the space around you, and just sharing your truth.
Yeah,
And
you're all doing that.
yeah, so my, so back to before I went on this tangent. So one of, again, so the central themes, right, is about identity. So I have soul real, a glass of soul real. I have another one called Beige Babies. That one is hands down like one of my favorite poems I've ever written. It's about again, it's about like being mixed and being and understanding what that means and decontextualizing. Or rather recontextualizing, sorry, yeah, recontextualizing like what it means to be a mixed person in this space, and how we're constantly trying to prove ourselves in spaces that we may actually understand better than folk who have never had to get into an argument about their identity before.
Which seems so
Yeah,
crazy to
so
me. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's
Yeah.
just, it seems so insane. It's just like, well, how could it be possible? It's like, what are you talking about? Like, how are
Well,
you questioning on who I am and what does it matter to you?
yeah. I mean, if there's anything that we've come out of I guess like 2020, or not even 2020, but like throughout this whole pandemic, is people grasp onto what they want, what they believe as their absolute truth so wholeheartedly that even if it had nothing to do with them, they'll be almost ready to fight for it. Even though it hasn't, even though it has real no, even though it doesn't have any real value to them, it's just like they just hold on to it, even though at the end of the day, it doesn't actually change their life circumstance. And it's, and yes, it is a very strange and weird phenomena. And part of it to me is because, being a part of like a marginalized community, it's like everything's already on its head. And then you then tell people, oh no, now you have to like relearn what it means to be whatever, whatever. They're like, I don't want to, because it's already hard enough to survive and to live. I don't want to have to like relearn something. So like some next thing, And so I also try and come from a place of compassion now. Like as a kid, like I was just I was a kid, right? Like I was trying to navigate the space, navigate the world. Now I try to like keep my temper in check. Use it as an opportunity to have deeper conversations. And the great thing is, it becomes a greater conversation about like what colonialism is, about what diaspora is, and about like all the different types of people that are all over the world and how they got there. Because the Caribbean is an isolated case. This has happened all throughout Africa. This happened throughout Latin America. This is, it's happened everywhere. And so if my pain can be a gateway into people understanding in a greater context of what colonialism did in terms of demographics, I've done my job.
Well, I think it's I think we become passionate personally about obviously what our circumstances are. And when we're really in tune, we'll stand up and do something about it. I have a brother who's developmentally disabled, lack of oxygen to the brain. He can't speak. He can kind of make sounds, but he can't speak full words. So kind of growing up within that was kind of like there's a whole bunch within the, who am I and da da da. Always a shy kid, but was always ready and willing to fight for him if I needed to, whether it was physical or verbal. And I find that even within, my teaching situations, somebody's calling somebody else retarded. You're retarded. And all of these are teachable moments where I say, you know what, in my room, we don't use that word. And they're like, well, I was just saying that he wasn't smart. I said, well, you know what? The word retarded kind of means that someone really isn't smart. And it kind of goes back to the fact of someone who is, like I said, my brother is disabled. And people would call him retarded because he can't talk. But he's really one of the smartest people I know. So that word carries a heavy, loaded meaning to me. And in this room, we don't use that word. And people are, the kids are immediately like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, no, I didn't mean disrespect, Miss Sajjan. I didn't mean disrespect. Like, and then they'll ask questions about him. And then that's a time for me to kind of, and not to focus on it, but people kind of a lot of times speak from a space of uneducation, So that's kind of like my little, one of my pulpits.
Totally. And that's the thing, right? Like if we can use our, I guess our positioning in the world as a platform to speak about, like truths out there, and that's a part of our job. I think that's part of everyone's job, right? Because like I can't know everything, right? No one can know everything, but whatever you do know, it's a part of your job to share, like as a citizen of this world.
Okay, this is deep. So I want to recognize the person with us here live. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box. We're kind of gonna breeze through the second question to get to the third for time reasons. But the second question being, so how do you incorporate creativity into your own life? Meaning, obviously, what you do is all within very expressive and how we define creativity, but are there other things that you would want to touch on of how you incorporate it in?
Yeah. Everything. Absolutely everything. The second I started deeply immersing myself within writing and within poetry, my awareness has just gone through the roof. So I'm taking pictures of everything. I pick up tunes in everything. I like when I'm cooking, like there's a rhythm to like the way that I'm handing things off to like in, or dropping things off into the sink or like how I'm chopping. Like I'm just it's creativity just oozes out of me.
I love that.
Because I allow myself to just be free to whatever the heck happens. And so there's this one of my mentors, he's an improv coach. And one of his advice to me was start writing super early in the morning. So like when you're barely awake, start writing. I was like, what the heck? I don't want to wake up at 6:30 in the morning, right? And he's just said, just join this workshop with me. So I joined this workshop. We're writing, and at the end of the workshop, I was like, what the heck is this? Like what just happened? What the heck just happened? I said, like, this has probably been the most freeing in terms of writing I've ever done. Not free form, like just free in terms of like baggage shit coming off of me. And he says, like, yeah, like, 'cause you're coming from a pure space. You're coming from a space that's not influenced by anything. You haven't opened up your phone yet. You haven't listened to anything yet. You haven't had engaged in a conversation yet. You haven't done anything yet. So anything that is just stirring in your head is just being dumped. And this is probably the most purest that you ever will create is in these spaces. And the thing is though is that like so sometimes I do these dumps and it's complete mush. Like nothing makes sense. Sometimes like I question if I even know how to write English. But then other times I'll do this dump and then I just get like these beautiful gems. And then so I'll cherry pick like that piece and make that the premise of my next now fully engaged, fully well thought out piece. Right? And so like there was this one There's just one line that I love, and now I'm like, I think I'm just gonna make that as like one of my taglines in like in my life. Sorry, I'm just flipping through my notebook, but oh here, pressure is such a great way to get you started, but an awful way to keep you going. And that just it just came out, and it didn't actually none of this clicked. But I also kind of got into this really nice routine of reading it to my girlfriend before we go to sleep at night. And when I read that, I was like, I instantly just started laughing. Like, what the heck did I just write? Like, this is probably one of the most profound things I've ever written.
It's so true. That's the space where it totally happens. Yeah, totally understand it. I had one where I was just kind of free doing the morning pages, we call them, and just kind of like writing, and all of a sudden it just came out like creativity goes beyond a pencil and a paintbrush. And that's
Yeah.
literally my tagline. Like amongst I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And then all of a sudden that was kind of mixed in and whatever with other stuff. It's like, holy crap, that's amazing.
Right. Oh, man. So like with yourself, like when it comes to your morning practice, like are you pretty much like doing the exact same thing that I am, or is there anything else that you're doing?
It's really, and to tell you the truth, I'm not completely consistent. So I get caught up in slapping myself on the wrist. But when I'm doing the routine that makes me feel really the best, it is waking up, grabbing my notebook, writing 3 pages. It's the whole artist way thing from the book, The Artist Way, and doing the brain dump and writing the 3 pages, going downstairs, getting a glass of water. And going for a walk and doing like a meditation that way. Sometimes I'll do like a meditation like angels and guides. Thank you so much for the messages that you're delivering to me today, and then kind of write them down. But the walking aspect has been really nice, either doing alone or with my son, to get outside and get some movement and feel connection. And then dive into the day.
Yeah, that's a big one that I need to keep in check with myself is after this, after writing, like jumping into some stretches and getting outside, because like I again, like I'm so in love with words, I'm so in love with writing that I just want to get back into doing more writing. So like I'll do like my morning reflection stuff, and then I'll eat my breakfast. And then I'm so excited just to start my day. All right. Because I'm working with clients and stuff all the time. So I'm like, yeah, here's a new project. Oh my gosh. Like I get to, deep dive into like the next thing, blah, blah, blah. But some like it's so important just to like to also slow down, and not just be so caught up in like, just being like off the walls all the time. Right. And I think like that's a big part of just like the self-awareness piece, and just remind myself like, John, like you actually function way better when you've, taken half an hour extra just to stretch, as opposed to jumping straight into it.
But it's really good points that you're making is, and the listeners here is like, when you actually love what you do, it really is, you find yourself, you get excited about that next part. My daughter and I, like before we go to sleep, it's kind of like 2 things you're grateful for. And a lot of things that I'll say tend to be around work. She's like, it can't be around work.
Why
And
can't it?
I'm like, but babe, I love what I do. So, I mean, it's hard to differentiate. There isn't like a differentiation space. I'm like, okay, let's come to a compromise. One will be about work, or what I call my work, and another will be something else. But she kind of brings that to my attention a lot. But they merge together.
Totally. And I mean, and that's a big part of doing what you love, right? Like you're not like there's absolutely no way you're gonna love every single thing like about what your job entails. But if like the core function of the actual job is doing your passion, then you're in the sweet space, right? You're in that sweet spot. So for example, like I don't love doing my accounting. I don't love being my own account manager as well in terms of like handling like I guess like customer relations but I have to do that. That's a part of the gig. But at the same time it's like what does all of this enable me to do? To write. It gives me the chance to write the narratives of these amazing brands and put it out there so that folk can start solving the problems that they have in their everyday lives. I'm just so in love with what I do.
Always so nice to hear. It really is. It's not the grind, it's actually passion. So let's move on to question three. We're gonna tie this up in a bow because it's so much of what we talked about, but we're just gonna kind of wrap it up and say, so why is creativity important to you?
You're trying to make me cry. Stop
I
it.
couldn't hear you. All of a
It's
sudden, I was
just
like, did I lose you again?
it's it quite frankly saved my life. It made me have a deeper connection with myself. It made me have a deeper connection with those around me. It made me align with the things that truly matter to me.
Wow.
It constantly gives me the opportunity to sit with myself and have the introspective moments that I didn't allow myself when I was younger. I thought I didn't deserve it. I thought I didn't work hard enough for it. I thought struggle was just a part of the game. And creativity gave me the chance to say, no, you are worth it, man. You need to speak to yourself, you need to listen to yourself and put it out there, put it down on paper. And I mean, a big reason why I'm even on this show is because I am so in love with helping people realize their own creativity. You know, make it like it's not about, you know, like we were mentioning before, it's not about just painting, it's not about just like writing poetry, it's about like just finding the thing that helps you have a better relationship with yourself. Because we're so like lost in, you know, the momentum of work or social media or even things that are meaningful, like taking care of your family. Like we're so like lost in like these things that like you forget about who we are. And creativity has allowed me to stay and be connected with myself.
We get numb.
Yeah.
I find we just kind of get numb, and it's so friggin' powerful that you said, like, creativity saved my life, deeper connection with self and those around me. So many people think, well, it's pretty selfish if I actually take time to do these things that, I do and takes time away from this and that. But it's actually just the opposite. Because when you're filling yourself up, when you're filling up your glass and nourishing yourself and finding out more about yourself, you're more connected, then you're growing, you're transforming, you're thriving. And then all the things that you said, you're aligning with it. There's just alignment in all aspects of your world.
I remember I was speaking to a friend and she was saying how, you know, she would feel guilty, like taking time for herself and, you know, and she also moved away from Toronto, and she felt guilty because she was away from her parents, because they're older. And I said, they went through a lot of sacrifices to get you here, get you to this point. If you don't live up to your full potential, all of that is going in vain. And for you to be more whole and present, you have to, sometimes that means you have to be selfish. But for the little bit of selfish, you're now more whole whenever you are around them. And that's the person that they deserve to be around. And that's the person that you deserve to be.
Yes. So, listeners, remember this. Take time for yourself. You really need to. It's just, it's the only way that you can really just find your way in this life, this thing we call life, in a way that is joyful and just full of connections. So, Jonathan, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
You can connect with me on Instagram at JCC. So again, that's JAYSEESEE. Or if you want to connect with me in terms of for copywriting and marketing stuff, you can follow me on LinkedIn. So Jonathan Chan Chung, Chan-Choong. It's been amazing being here. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I honestly feel like I needed this conversation too to remind myself like why I live such like a purposeful life, you know? So thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
Really? You're welcome, and thank you so much for taking this hour to chat and to just expand it. Just a really expansive conversation. So I really, really appreciate it. Happy to know you. So I want to thank the people thank you. I want to thank the people who have been here live and people listening to the replay. We appreciate you taking this time. And this space is all about inspiring, sharing, and connecting stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread these stories, spread the word, and just lift people up, because that's what the space is all about. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google, all the Spotify, all those spaces, please like, write a review. We appreciate it because, you know, the whole analytic thing, it makes it all get shared. And it can just get heard. So we wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be talking to you really soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Ciao. See ya.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shui, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.